the mandate that the way we understood it, that the governor put out is not required for churches to have to do that. Although if you feel more comfortable, you're not going to bother me or anybody else by wearing your mask. So that's between yourself, your family, and the Lord, if you want to do that. So I want you to feel comfortable. Won't be having any night services. We're going to do this for 2 weeks, see where we're at the 1st of August. Of course, next Sunday will be our lake day. We're going to, planning to keep it like it is. Rice Pavilion hasn't told us we couldn't yet, so unless they tell us we can't, we're going to keep everything scheduled. We will be providing the stuff for barbecue sandwiches, and if you want to bring anything, you can. We'll have the barbecue sandwiches and chips, is that right? As of right now, if nobody else brings a thing, we'll have that. So remember, it's at Rice Pavilion. If you need directions, get with some of us. We'll help you get there. Looking forward for a good time. I think we all need it to get our minds off of all the stuff that's going on. Few more announcements. The service changes until the end of July. No Sunday school, no evening services. And Wednesday night Bible study, we will keep it on. We will try to spread out as good as we can. If the weather is permitting, and it's not 150 degrees, we can be outside. If it is, we'll come in here. They're not going to practice singing anyway, so we can have the whole sanctuary here. The youth will continue. They've got plenty of room out here to spread out, and they can go outside also. So we're just going to try to do the best we can with what we know to do and how we know to do it. Our summer Sunday night, starting in August, we're keeping that on for right now. We'll see what happens as we get a little closer. I've been praying hard that God takes this thing away, in which we all know we can debate about how much of it is legit or not, but that's not for me to decide. We'll do the best we can with what information we have. The Sunday summer nights, by the way, is community outdoor Bible study and meal. We'll have volleyball games, cornhole, relax in lawn chairs, and before that, we will have teaching of the Word of God. We will preach or teach. And our idea of that was to get people in the community to come out, kind of like taking the place of our Bible school we had to cancel. So that was our thoughts behind that. Nobody knew was getting this resurgent this early. It was in the minds of people that would come around the fall, but I don't think this early was what anybody had planned on, or nobody planned on it at all. But, Journey of Hope commissioning service, as of right now, we're keeping it on. Is that right? For August 30th, we're keeping it like it is. Our 150th year anniversary celebration and our homecoming and all we had planned for that day in September the 13th, we're keeping it the same also. So we will try to let you know the best we can if things change. If you need to get on our text list, you can do that. Or Facebook, the information page is there. And I think the services now is on YouTube and different things. So we're doing the best we can with how we know to do it. So I ask you to pray for us, pray for the leaders of the church, pray for all the leaders of all churches. I've talked to one or two throughout this week, trying to see their mindset behind it, and they're doing exactly what we're doing, trying to do the best they can with what they feel like is best for their congregation. I ask you to remember the leaders of our nation. We know not only do that, the virus stuff going on, we've got all the other stuff that's all other division in our nation going on, and I'm going to tell you, the church needs to pray. We need to pray for our country. Well, I still say we've got the best country in the world, and I'm going to stick to that. And I just believe God will do a work. Have any prayer requests before we go in? By the way, order service may look a little different this morning. Of course, not going to be any live singing. Corey's got a song to play, then we'll go into preaching. And, of course, we won't have any of the welcoming stuff like we have not been doing, so that kind of gives you an idea. But we will have prayer requests. Anybody have one before we get started this morning? I saw that. Also, the Clayton family, the mother passed away last week and the son died yesterday. And they've had a tough time. So y'all remember, some of y'all may know Johnny Norton better than the Claytons, Johnny Norton's wife's family. Remember Johnny and all them. Johnny and his wife has taken care of them for years. So I ask you to remember them.
I have those first games start this week. But you've got a couple weeks.
Y'all remember Stephanie? She's in the end of this thing for school. She likes next Friday and Saturday is her last two 12-hour shifts she has to work for free for school, and she'll graduate August the 5th. Remember Eric also, they put in all this work, and because of this virus stuff, their graduation is going to be driving through in a car by themselves. So we can argue about that again, too, after service maybe, but that's what it's going to be. So remember all the, I mean, they put in a lot of work, Blake and all of them, all the high school seniors and all of them. It's just been a tough year. But remember her. She's getting wore down. It'll be 42 days straight when she's done with this run, and it's about to wear her out. Any others? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll have a song, then we'll preach. Father, we thank you for this day, God, you've given us. We thank you for the blessings of life. And God, I know it seems that everything is against us right now, but Lord, we know you're still for us. We trust you. We trust your way, and we trust your timing. Lord, let us hold tight to that. Let us cling to you, and not on our own understanding. It says in the scriptures, if we'll look to you, then you'll work out the good for all those that love you. And God, that's our prayer today. Lord, I ask that you be with our leaders of our cities, of our states, of our nations, as they try to make decisions the best ability they know how. We know that we believe that our best interest is that there is what they're doing. God, we ask you to give them wisdom, give them understanding, and help them to keep persevering through all the times. We ask you to touch the sick ones, the ones that's been for tests or scans. God, we pray for good results. We pray that that your glory, you get the glory from whatever results they are. We know that's what we should desire to do. God, I ask you to mold us to be more like you. God, I ask you to be with our congregation as we have had to change things up again. I pray that you let us see the need to keep coming, the need to keep worshiping, the need to keep staying close to you. And God, we ask you to bless it. Bless our service this morning as I play this song. I pray it touches a heart. And God, as I preach, I pray you give me the words to preach and help us apply it to our lives. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why, God, do people have to die? A daughter or a son, sudden and so young, long before their time. Why, God, do people fall apart? A promise and a ring becomes a broken thing, a road that got too hard. I don't understand, but I understand. Why, God, I need you. It's why, God, I run to your arms over and over again. It's why I run to you. That's why, God, I need you. Why, God, I run to your arms over and over again. Why, God, I cling to your love and hold on for dear life. And I find you are right by my side. Always right by my side, even here in the
great song. I love that song, and I was thinking about the first time I ever heard of that young man. We were standing in a, you couldn't do it today because of coronavirus, because we was elbow to elbow for about a mile in at that church up there where Johnny Hunt pastors, and was in that line, and that lady said, the lady turned around and said, we was all, I guess, talking about don't miss the show. This lady says, you ain't going to miss the show, so they're going to wait for us to get in. Said, my son's Austin French. I don't know who that is. But we was in line with his mother, so she's not special. She has to stay in line just like we did. This morning, if you got your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, we will read first, and we'll be in several parts of Joshua 7 and Joshua 8. And this week, I have been thinking about us as people and Americans and Christians, more so than Americans, and if you be honest with yourself, and you may, I hope you're better than me, but I have felt defeated. I thought we was coming out of this thing. I thought we was heading the right way, and we are knocked down again, and I think we are feeling defeated, not with just this going on, but with everything going on in our country, and it seems that we are about to give up. And I want you to see that God never desires you to give up. God's plan is going to take place. Now, his fulfilling the scriptures is going to take place. I've seen people, maybe it's the end times, and I don't know that. I know we've been in the last days since Jesus has been here or was ascended up to heaven. We've been living the last days. So I don't know when that is, but I do know that God doesn't have us to be defeated. We are too strong to be defeated because we have the one who is all-powerful on our side. And I was thinking about this, and the title of this sermon is Dealing with Defeat. Dealing with defeat. I want you to understand that we have won the war. You turn to the back of the book, you will find that we win. It's over. We've won. But I will have you know also that we're going to lose some battles. There's going to be some battles that we lose. If you remember, here as Joshua has begun leading the children of Israel. Moses has died. Joshua is the leader. And Joshua starts with a great victory. But very soon on in Joshua's career, he got defeated. And there's some reasons he got defeated. We're going to talk about some of those this morning. But in Joshua chapter 7, verse number 1 through 10, if you would, go ahead and stand. It's good for you to exercise and get to moving a little bit. It says, Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So then went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, and he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around and cut off our name, from the earth, and what will thou do thy great name, unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, boy, I love this, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Father, we thank you this morning for this scripture. God, I ask you to help us as we're feeling defeated. God, maybe not all of them, but I know I have, and I ask you to give me strength. Lord, let us see that we may lose some battles, but the war is won. These blessings we'll ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Defeat always, always comes from disobedience. From disobedience. Now, nobody likes defeat. We don't like to be defeated. If we did, we'd all be Auburn fans. Amen? Amen. Nobody likes to be defeated. We like to win. We like to be on the winning team. I have a cousin, and through the years, he's been a great football fan, but I've seen him pull for Florida State. I've seen him pull for several more of them. Right now, he's an Alabama fan. And he'll continue to when Alabama starts losing. If that ever happens, he'll jump ship to somebody else. And nobody likes to be defeated. We all like to win. But I want to tell you something. Whether you're an Alabama fan or whatever you are, you're going to find out something. Defeat happens. It's going to happen. And it always happens because of disobedience. I'm talking spiritually now. Because of disobedience is why defeat happens. If you back up a little bit, and I didn't do this, but I'm going to give you a brief synopsis, they say, of this, what happened. Was they was to take Jericho. And God gave them very specific directions how to take Jericho. And in those directions, he said, do not take of the spoils of that city. But a man named Achan, he just couldn't help himself. And he hid all this stuff in his tent, you remember. And because of this, they got defeated in the next battle, which was Jericho was to be the biggest battle that they would ever face. And Ai was to be the smallest battle. But they defeated the city of Jericho. But Ai chased them down the hill and killed 36 of them because of disobedience. Now, we'll get to some more stuff of why that happened, but it always begins with this disobedience. It tells us in chapter 7, verse number 1, says the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. The accursed thing was the spoils of the city of Jericho that God plainly said, do not touch. And today, if me and you are defeated, brother, it's because of disobedience. Because the scriptures tell us that if God be for us, who can be against us? And when I look at that and I don't take that to be the truth, I am disobeying God. And because of that, I find myself in a defeated state. And I find myself at the same place that they always want to be. You'll find that defeat always does some things to us that is not good. It can be avoided, but it takes heeding to God's instructions. Defeat can be avoided, but it takes heeding to God's instructions. Boy, that's not fun, is it? You see, we want to live a victorious life. We don't ever want to be defeated. We don't ever want to get beat down, but we want to do things our own way. And church, I said this when this thing started, way back in March or whatever it was, that God's going to get the glory out of this thing. I don't know how it's going to end, but it's going to end in a way that God gets the glory. And listen, we're going to be defeated maybe a few more times through this thing. But bless God, according to this word, I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm not going to be cast down. I'm not going to be done away with. Because I've read that in Revelations that the church wins. The church is going to be victorious. And we already are victorious, but we're going to have some battles. And we're going to be defeated because we're not going to follow the instructions of the Lord. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's just what's going to happen. As us people, we always, always do this. We always do it. We get to going pretty good, and we take our eyes off the Lord, as Peter did, and we find ourselves beginning to sink again. Why we do this, I cannot explain it. All I can tell you is human beings are not very bright. We just can't grasp this thing. We must follow directions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it tells us the word of God keeps us from being defeated. Listen to this. All scripture is given by God, but given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. That means that it is the truth, brother. You can take the word of God as the only truth. It's for reproof. None of us likes to be gotten on to or straightened up, and that's what the word of God does. It's for correction. It's for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God, just as God told Achan and all the children of Israel not to take of that accursed thing of the spoils of Jericho, he tells us the same thing today, exactly in his word of what to do. But for some reason, we just cannot heed to it. We just won't do it.
I think Achan thought like I do. Just a little bit won't hurt. Oh, they won't never miss that. That great big city of Jericho. If I take a little bit and hide it in my tent, won't nobody ever know these things. Warren Wiersbe said something that I was studying this through his commentary. Never underestimate the repercussions of your sin. Never underestimate what your sin can affect. Listen to what he said. This is not my words. I wish I was as smart. David's counting the people of Israel cost 70,000 lives. God told him not to count the people. David counted the people. 70,000 people died because of David's disobedience. Moses. Oh, what about old Moses? Abraham almost lost his wife. Abraham went. You remember when he lied? The king almost took his wife. And his wife, if you study the scriptures, that's to be your most prized possession, men. And it almost took that away from him because of lying, of disobedience. Think about this one. Old man named Jonah almost sunk a whole ship because of his disobedience. All of them was in there together. You see, we're guilty of thinking that my sin just affects me. If that's not right, my sin affects everybody. And the repercussions of my sin can keep going. It can go through eternity. It can go through generations. It can go through nations and different things. Never look at your sin as being something light, because any disobedience with God is sin. Sin is simply missing the mark. And when you miss the mark with God, these repercussions of this thing are there forever going. They go through generations. They go through families. And it can last forever. And finally, one day, somebody must break out of these things. But our sin is very, very serious. It was here. Cost a nation to get beat up by a little bitty people. Boy, I think about that. Sounds a lot like us, don't it, sometimes? So you look at defeat, begins with disobedience. But I want you to look at this defeated people in Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. Now, before we look at this, I want you to think about something. Children of Israel is God's chosen people. This is the people of God. The people that God walked with. He parted the Red Sea. He stopped the Jordan River where they could go over and overtake Jericho. And they walked, marched around Jericho 7 times. The walls fell down. My friend, this is God's people. Nothing has changed, and God hadn't changed. So what must have changed? These people changed is why they was defeated. It said the men of Ai smote of them, about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them. The smallest city they would ever take chased the people of God. For they chased them before the gate, even to Cherubim, and smote them in going down, for the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I read that yesterday as I was studying this, and it got me all upset. This is God's people, and me and you are God's people. And bless God, right now in the United States of America, our hearts have become weak as water. We become defeated. We are cast down, and there is no reason for this. The only reason for it is we have been disobedient, and we don't trust God. Just as they didn't trust God, they trusted themselves to be able to overtake Ai. And when they put confidence in themselves and not confidence in God, they got defeated. That's why we're defeated today. Their hearts become as water. I'm talking about people who were so strong that the Jordan River was held up. I don't know how tall the waters would have been, but they walked over on dry ground. I'm talking about the Red Sea was parted for them, and this people walked over on dry ground. And the same people that did that, brother, their hearts became weak as water because of the doubt and because of the confidence they put in something because of God. The greatest falls come right after the most amazing victories. It's true in your own life. You'll overcome something great. It won't be no time you'll find yourself defeated again because you begin putting your eyes on your own self. It's a sad sight to think of God's people being as weak as water. They had lost all desire to fight, and the only feeling was fear. They had no desire to fight. They ran down the hill. 36 men had been killed, and the rest of them run as scared as they could. They forgot who was on their side. They forgot the obedience they're supposed to have, and they become weak as water, and they ran down the hill and melted in their own strength. We've seen this in our own nation. I look around, I see people defeated everywhere. People are defeated. Right now, in our nation, If you went around, you took a poll, there's a lot of people, if they would be honest with you, would tell you they feel defeated. It's looked like some things may have to start shutting back down. I hope that's not the case. But there have been people's businesses that come back up in the last month or two, and they're probably seeing this thing heading back down and probably feel defeated. It's everywhere. Let me tell you what Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30 says. Listen to this. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Listen, this is telling about God's people, the same children of Israel that is right here I'm preaching to you about. These people that God said one could chase 1,000 and two could chase 10,000, and here they are, about 3,000, running from a little city of Ai because of disobedience and because of self-confidence. They was chased, had become weak as water. They was defeated because they had self-confidence and not God-confidence. That's why we're defeated today. I don't know why this God allowed this virus to come. For His glory is all I can tell you. It says everything works for His glory. He is the King of glory, it says in Psalms. And when He let this come for His glory, I don't understand it. But what I do know is He's not happy with His church, with His people, being weak as water and being laying down in defeat and being all sad and having the mully grubs and not wanting to get up and do anything. He's not proud of that. He expects you to be able to chase 1,000 away. The same power is still there. Thirdly, I want you to look at a discouraged, doubting leader. A discouraged, doubting leader. Chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" Have you ever prayed like that? God, why did you save me to bring me here to be defeated by this thing we're going through? He said, "Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turn their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Discouragement will destroy the greatest of men. You take the greatest man, the greatest leader they've ever been, and you get him discouraged, he becomes no good. Becomes not worth anything. When we rely on our abilities and not God's wisdom is when we come defeated and discouraged. We rely on our abilities. And I know this from a leader standpoint. When you begin relying on your own abilities and not the abilities of God, you open yourself up for discouragement. Because, my friend, I can do nothing. In my own power, I am very weak. Our sign even says it down here. Without God, you are nothing. And when you, as a leader and as a church leader and as a family leader or whatever it is, when you take your abilities and you count on them to lead people, you count on them to keep people in control, you count on them to be what people look to, then you have messed up. But when you get power is when you rely on God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Listen. I've heard some things lately of people saying different things that God's going to do. This is why we're doing this. This is what God's going to do. My friend, don't take any of that unless it lines up with this right here. This is what God's going to do. There's been given no new revelation to no man. No, we don't need any new revelation. We got 66 books telling us what God's going to do. And I don't need anything new. I need this right here. That's where my confidence is. But a doubting leader. Me, just like Joshua, I can start even to blame God. You see what Joshua did? God, why'd you bring us over? Why did you stop that river and allow us to cross over to bring us over here and let us get defeated by a little bitty city like Ai? Why'd you allow that to happen, God? And boy, then he starts doing exactly what we all do as Christians. Why not just stay on the other side? Why didn't I just stay over there where I was happy? Why didn't I just stay over there where there wasn't no battles? You see, they could have stayed over there and probably not had any battles, but bless God, they wouldn't have been given what God had promised them. You can probably stay at home and not get any of this stuff and all this, but it ain't what God has for you. We are to be out in the battles. We're to be fighting the battles. And listen, we've got the greatest power going ahead of us, which is the great God of the universe is all in control. And my friend, if you trust in His wisdom and not your own abilities, you will not be defeated. Will not. You may even die from this earth. But it tells us, Paul tells us, to die is gain. And we can't see that because we see it through a glass darkly. We tend to want to go back where we was before God delivered us. It's stupid, but it's human nature. We want to go back there. God, all this wasn't back there. We start to question God. We think maybe our way is better than His. Have you ever tried to tell God what to do? I do it every day. God, you not see my nation. God, my nation is hurting. This virus thing has got us destroyed almost. We got this racial thing going on. It's almost got us destroyed. We got this political thing going. God, you just don't understand how bad this thing is in. Hey, my friend, God knew about this stuff of an eternity past. It ain't took Him by surprise. It's not going to take control of Him. He is in complete control. And me and you should be able to live contentedly, knowing that God has got this thing, and nothing I can do can change it. Nothing you can do can change it. All we can do is trust in Him. Trust Him. We start to question. Maybe I know how to run this thing better than God. You see, if I'd been God, I wouldn't allow this virus to come, Terry, because I know better than He does. If I wouldn't allow people to get cancer because I know better than He does. I wouldn't allow this racial thing to go on because I know better than He does. My friend, His ways are way ahead of my ways. I can't even start to understand the mind of God except for what the Scriptures teaches of Him. All I know is He tells me to trust Him. And I will not be defeated. This discouraged leader, he does exactly, you see, everybody always says, don't worry about what people think about you. There's never been a leader I read about in the Scriptures that did that, except for Jesus. He worried about what people said. We even worry about what the world thinks more than what God knows. You say you don't worry about what people care about you, you're lying. You do care about it, you have to. Joshua was one of the greatest military leaders there's ever been in the Scripture, and he worried about what people thought about his nation. And we are the same way. But listen, what people think about the Israel didn't really matter because God was in control of Israel. It didn't matter if they thought they could chase them back down a hill or whatever it was. The truth of the matter was, this was God's chosen people. They will never be overthrown. They're not overthrown today. They weren't overthrown then. They never will be overthrown. God will always save a remnant of them, and nobody will ever destroy Israel. It will not happen. They've tried it. It's a little bitty nation about the size of Rhode Island. And all these other nations try to destroy them. And they can't be destroyed because God's on their side. Me and you are grafted into that by the blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing can overtake us. But we worry. So we see a discouraged leader. But I want to show you a loving, forgiving, demanding, dealing with sin Lord. I want you to think about this. Joshua is down on his face. He is defeated. His people have been defeated. They are weak as water. And by the way, I think what affected Joshua more than anything is seeing God's people running down that hill scared for their lives. He probably hated to see the 36 get killed, but I think the worst thing was seeing the people that he was in control of defeated. And brother, I kind of line up with him a little bit. As seeing people that we are to lead in a scared, and listen, it's normal to be scared. None of us want that virus, whether we say we don't believe it's real or not. Don't none of us want it. We don't want these things. But the truth of it is, some of us will probably have to deal with it. But we see this loving Lord come on the scene in verse 10. Verse 10 of this, listen what he says. The Lord said unto Joshua. Now this right here is where we expect God to get out a whooping stick. Listen to what he says. God said to Joshua, get up. Why are you doing down there? Get up. You look like a sissy laying down there. Get up and do something. There ain't a single person can accomplish anything laying on their face pouting. Not a single one of them. Now, I told you that we've won the war. We're going to lose some battles, and we are. And there are going to be some times you wake up and lose. By the way, I've said this, and I say it jokingly, but it's very serious. The best thing our nation could do is start back keeping score in T-ball and football, little league, because it teach us that we're going to be defeated sometimes. And when that happens, you've got to get yourself up and quit laying down and acting like you ain't got no power. Get up and do something about it. God said, get up. You can't do anything pouting. Why are you lying on your face? You're a military leader, and you're over all these people of Israel, and here you are laying on your face crying like a baby. He told him, verse 11, 12. He said, the problem is sin. Israel has sin. The problem, the reason you are defeated, church, is sin. It started way back in the garden and it's still continuing today. The reason that a virus is even on the land is sin. People may argue with me that, but I don't care. It's Bible. Israel has sinned and they have also transgressed my covenants, which I commanded them. He said, you have sinned. You have disobeyed me. Now, the reason you're down there, there's nothing for you to cry about and moan about. You knew the rules and you broke them. Get up and do something about it. The problem is sin. The solution, verse number 13. Up, sanctify the people. You notice he never tells him to stay down. He says, why are you on your face? Get up. He tells him again in verse 13, up, sanctify the people, clean the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, and thou canst stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Boy, I think about our nation. I'm going to get pretty plain right here for a few minutes. We're all defeated right now. But let me ask you a question. Would you honestly expect a holy, all-powerful, all-knowing God to bless a nation who kills more unborn in a day than probably have died of the coronavirus so far? Numbers may be a little skewed, but that's close. Or definitely in a month's time. Would you expect that same God to deliver a nation from a little bitty tiny virus when this nation is doing all these ungodly things on a daily basis? Why would you expect that? You see, because we want God to act as we want God to act. And God has to act according to His character, which is complete holiness. And if a nation wants God to deliver it of a virus or any other thing, the nation must sanctify itself. It's right there. Sanctify yourselves and put away the accursed thing. A nation living in sin should not expect a holy God to deliver it. But we do. You see, to get the sin out, it starts with my sin. And it goes to your sin. And we got to go to the sins of the people. And it always starts with the leaders. But the problem is sin. The reason that thing hadn't been delivered is sin. I'm not telling you if we decided right now not to abort another baby that God would deliver this thing off our land. I don't know that. But brother, it couldn't hurt. Because it was a sin was in the camp, and sin is in the camp of our nation. We're allowing everything to go against the word of God, and then we'll say, God bless us, and then we get down and out when He don't bless us, and here we are still in sin, and we're wondering why God ain't working. Nothing of it lines up with Scripture. The sin must get out of our nation. The cursed thing must get out. You see, it's easy to look at your accursed thing, but what's mine? I must get mine out of my life, and I can't clean up you. I have a hard enough time with me. But he says, move it. The solution is getting the sin out. It's going to be hard, but sin must be out. I put this verse down, but I'm going to paraphrase this for time. God tells him, he says, call the people of the tribes and bring them together. We got to find who. Now listen, God knew who sinned in this thing. God knew exactly who Achan was. But he had Joshua to do this. Bring them together. We got to determine where this sin lies. They brought them all the tribes together. Achan come in. Joshua tells him, says, give glory to the Lord. In other words, admit you did this. He spills the beans. They take him out. All the spoils and everything. And they destroy him in the valley of Achor. It's even there to this day, the Bible says. They stone him with stones and then burn him. Killed him, done away with him. The whole time, the problem was Achan. The sin must be out. You see, it was hard. Joshua loved Achan as Joshua loved all the other children of Israel. Joshua loved him. But Joshua had to take him out. He had to destroy him. And church, what I'm telling you is, until we get this thing out of our lives, until we get our country straight and our country lined up with thus saith the word of God, there will not be any blessings. We will continue to be defeated. We will continue to stay as weak as water. And then we're going to moan and groan and wonder, oh me, why is it going on? And we cannot even see the problem in our own camp. Because sin is hard to deal with. Because we like it. Because it's fun, it must be out. And when sin gets out, Verse number 8, 1 and 2. Victory will once more come. Listen to this. The Lord said to Joshua, "Fear not, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up to Ai." I like this. "See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst to Jericho and her king." Boy, what if Achan had awaited one more battle? Look at this. "Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves." What Achan wanted in the last battle, he was getting in the battle ahead. Church, you must wait upon God also. God's blessings will come at God's time. If Achan had just waited to one more battle, look what he would have got. He would have even been alive and got to enjoy the spoils. "Shall you take for a prey? Lay then ambush for the city behind it." You see, he tells Joshua in these next verses. He says, "Problem is, Joshua, the first time, you didn't get my ideas of how to take Ai. You did what you saw me did, like what you saw me do last time. You sent out the spies. You said, 'Okay, how many we need? We don't need that many. They're very small. We can go up and we can take them.' All that long, they're putting confidence in themselves and not in the confidence God had. But God told Joshua something that leaders, me and you, need to listen to, because everybody here, every man here especially, is a leader, whether it's in this church or in your household." He says a great advice of what every leader needs to hear. He says, "You go with them. You go with them into battle." If you'll find out something, every time a leader gets in trouble in the Word of God, he's not where he's supposed to be in the battle. When David committed the great sin with Bathsheba, he was at home. He's supposed to have been in the battle where he belonged. And this is playing place. When Joshua got defeated, these people got defeated at Ai, Joshua's sitting back here letting them fight the battle. Leaders, it's up to us to go before them, and those that follow us will come after and begin fighting. But the leaders must be the head of fighting the battles. Victory is available once again. We're feeling defeated right now. But I believe with all my heart, if our nation, I'm not saying it'll ever happen, I don't know, I pray to God it does. But if our nation would get back to following "Thus saith the Word of God," if we'd get back to getting the curse thing out, get back to quit destroying our own people, get back to marrying the way God says marriage is to be, to get back to the way God says that things are to be handled in our personal lives, and get back to this, I'm just dumb enough to believe that God would bring victory once more to our land. I believe He would. Why do I know? Because He does not change. He's the same God He was here in the battle of Ai as He is today in the battle of this coronavirus throughout the whole world. The problem is sin. You say, "Oh, that's about as old-fashioned a preaching as you can have, that preaching against sin." Well, brother, it's a problem. If you go to the doctor and he tiptoes around your problem all day and you're never healed, you're going to say that doctor wasn't any count. He didn't know what was wrong. Because he knew that if he removed that thing, it was going to hurt you a little bit. Listen, I'm here today to tell you, not according to my word, because I'm a sinner saved by grace such as you are, but I am here to tell you that until the sin is taken out, the victory will not come. Will not come. Our nation continues on the path it's on. Right now, of the abortions we do and all the things we do, the ungodly marriages we do, the ungodly treatment of each other we do, victory will not come. We will continually be defeated. Will not come. Yes, we will have victory because we've won victory through Jesus Christ. The church will have victory. It is saved. It is secure. It's not going anywhere. We'll go home to be with Him. But our great nation that we love so much, until it returns to the ways of God, will be defeated. It will not. God will not turn until the nation turns. Will not. My prayer is today that you have seen how to overcome defeat. How to deal with defeat. You see, you probably are feeling defeated. I know we like to have things like we thought things should be. We like to know what was going to happen at church. Come in, everybody get to hug and love on one another. Get to hear good singing, get to hear this thing, not worried about what they say about this virus business. Or we desire all of that to be. We desire to be able to go back out in our nation and eat and go to Walmart past 8 o'clock and not wear a mask. We want all these things to happen, and more so than that, we want our whole nation to get along. We want to understand that all people is important to God. All people that are His is just equally important. There's none. And listen, we want all these things just right, but we don't want it bad enough to remove the problem, which is my sin. What about you today? Defeat will come as long as sin is available. As long as sin is there, defeat is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If Achan had never come forth, God told him in them scriptures, I wish I'd put this one down, but it's in there. He says, I will not be with you as long as the sin is in the camp. He said, until that sin is brought and dealt with, I will be with Israel no more. You think this may be God saying to the United States from now on? Now listen, I'm not adding words to God because I don't know. But I do know from seeing these past scriptures that it helps me to understand some things of how God works. God may be saying, until the sin is dealt with in this great nation, which was set up on my word, until this thing, the sin is dealt with in this nation, you may stay in a defeated state. I will not be with you no more. This may be His saying that. I don't know, and I can't do anything about you. I have hard enough time with me. But I believe I'm called to preach you the truth, and I try to do that every single Sunday. And today, are you defeated? If you are defeated, I can tell you the cause of it is sin. And sin is disobedience. Any disobedience to God is sin. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. God's holy. God's completely holy. God's completely perfect. You has put you and God in a scale, in a balance. You come across wanting very badly. The only thing that will make your scale even is when God gets on your side, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you become even. Sin is our problem today. As Pat comes, as everybody stands, you may be here and you may be more self-righteous than me, but I challenge you to examine your life. You see, I've got you thinking about these abortions and all these other things. You're always thinking about how bad them people are. But what if everybody lived in this nation the way you live, how would this nation be? If everybody took God on the same level as you do, how would our nation look? If everybody had the same sin you have, how would our nation look? You see, if you can't answer that this nation would be on a path towards God, then brother, you need to be in this altar. You say, well, people think I've done something, but it's the truth. We've all done something. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We want our nation to not be defeated. Maybe it needs to start with me. Asking God to forgive me of this thing and do away with it. You see, no longer does it take us being killed as it did Achan. There's already been one destroyed on a cross for my sin. He's done got all the punishment that Achan took that I deserve for my sin. He's done took all that from me. The payment's done been made. I need to call out and I need to get my sin out so my nation may be delivered and victorious once again. As she plays, how are you today? Thank you.